be here. Let me first of all thank Josh and Shapiro for the wonderful discussion. I'm very grateful for him being here. I'm thankful to Susan Clare, the president of Kodesh Shalom Synagogue. I was looking at the fact that we've done in the building here, and I can tell Susan worked very hard. She said that she's only going to be present for a few more weeks, so apparently. I had a great honor case. She told me the politics of being the president of the synagogue. Put presidential politics to shame. I want to thank Rabbi Kuhn, Representative David Leach. I want to thank two great friends and great supporters who have been with me for taking the Congressman Steve Hoffman in New Jersey. And Congressman Robert Hutchford for taking the time to do this today. I've been honored to have the support of so many friends from the Jewish community dating back to my very first days in public life in Chicago. And I've been honored to have the strong support of the Jewish community in my campaign. And so before we begin, I just want to wish everybody a happy Passover this weekend, and I hope everybody has a joyful Seder with family and friends. Over the last few weeks, I've been traveling around Pennsylvania talking about the change that this country needs. I believe that America wants to move beyond the politics that divides. America's tired of the economic policy that tells people that you are on your own. America wants to turn the page on foreign policy that leaves us less secure and less able to lead the world. And in this time, in this election, I believe it's time for fundamental change in Washington. To make that change, we need to draw on the spirit that is deeply embedded in the Jewish tradition. A view that says we all have the responsibility to do our part to repair this world. If we can take care of one another and build strong communities around us, and faith and family, that will keep alone. It is a task that each of us takes up every day. And that's how we're going to meet the challenges we face. This really is a defining moment in our history. Time on the size of our challenges is eclipsed only by the opportunities before us if, and only if, we finally put an end to the distractions of our policy. I believe we can make healthcare affordable for all Americans. I believe that we can have an energy policy that saves jobs, saves our planet, and stops sending billions of dollars to dictators that ultimately threaten our security. I believe we can build our schools and renew a stake in each other's success. We can also end this war in Iraq responsibly so that we can focus on the common threats of the 21st century. Terrorism and nuclear weapons, but also genocide about four deadly diseases, poverty and hopelessness around the world. And we can work for a lasting peace and security with our ally, Israel. We can do this, but only if we come together with a common purpose. Now, I know that I come here with a variety of questions that people want to pose, so let me sort of address some of the front end, and then I want to open it up for the conversation. I know that many of you who share my belief that we have to get past divisions were concerned about comments made by my former pastor. I want to be clear that I not only reject anti-American sentiments that were expressed, but also anti-Israel sentiments that were stated as well. And that's why my speech in Philadelphia. Right here, representing Israel's these conflicts and rules, including primarily an action of smaller allies like Israel, instead of having diverse and hateful ideologies of radical Islam. The relationship between the United States and Israel is rooted in shared interests, shared values, and deep friendship among our people. It is supported by a strong bipartisan consensus that I've been proud to be a part of, and a broad majority of the American people. When I'm in the White House, I will bring with me an unshakable commitment to Israel's security and friendships between our two countries. A few years ago, I traveled to Israel, and the experience made a powerful impression on me. I've long understood Israel's great love, its need for security in a peaceful neighborhood, and its quest for peace with its neighbors. But there's no substitute for meeting the people of Israel in the same terrain, and experience the powerful contrast of the beautiful Holy Land faces a constant threat of deadly violence. The people of Israel show their courage and commitment to democracy every day that they board a bus or kiss their children after school. I know how much Israelis crave peace. I know that Prime Minister Olmert was elected with a mandate to pursue it. I pledge to make every effort to help Israel achieve peace. I will support Israel's secure, unquote, strengthened Palestinian partners who support that vision and personally work for two states that can live side by side in peace and security, with Israel's status as a Jewish state ensured so that Israelis and Palestinians can pursue their dreams. I will work on behalf of peace with full knowledge that Israel still has their enemies. We see their intentions every time a suicide bomber swipes. We saw their intentions in the Katusha rockets that Hezbollah rained down on Israel from Lebanon in 2006. And we see it today in the songs that Hamas fires into Israel every day from Gaza. That's why I have a fundamental difference with President Carter and disagree with the decision to meet. Negotiate with a terrorist group intent on Israel's destruction. Only to sit down with Hamas and say, without terrorists, recognize Israel's right to exist and abide by past agreements. As president, I will do everything I can to help Israel protect itself from these and other threats. We will make sure that Israel can defend itself against any attack, whether it comes from as close as Gaza or as far as Tehran. Defense cooperation between the United States and Israel has been a model of success, and I believe that it can be deepened and strengthened. My greatest threat to Israel today comes from Iran. There's a radical regime that is intent on pursuing the ability to build a nuclear weapon and continues its support for terrorism across the region. President Ahmadinejad continues his offensive denials of the Holocaust and its disturbing denunciations of Israel. The threat from Iran is real, and my goal as president will be to eliminate it. Ending the war in Iraq will be an important step towards achieving this goal because it will increase our flexibility and ability to deal with Iran. I make no mistake, Iran has been the primary strategic beneficiary of this war, and I intend to change that. My approach to Iran will be based upon aggressive policy. Under this administration, threat has grown worse, and I intend to change that course. The time has come to talk directly to the Iranians to lay out our clear terms: an end to the pursuit of nuclear weapons, an end to their support of terrorism, and an end to their threats against Israel and their countries. To achieve this goal, I believe that we have to offer incentives like the prospect of better relations and integration in the international community, as well as disincentives, like the prospect of increased sanctions. We'll seek these sanctions through the United Nations and encourage our friends in Europe and the Gulf to use their economic leverage against Iran outside of Europe. We'll be in a stronger position to achieve tough international sanctions if the United States shows that we are willing to come to the table. I'll continue to work on what I've started in the Senate by enacting my legislation to make it easier for states to divest their pension funds from government. As president, I will leave all options on the table for dealing with the threat from Iran, including the military option. But I believe that we have not pursued the kind of aggressive and direct diplomacy that could yield results that are secure both Israel and the United States. The current policy of not talking is not working. I believe it's time to change that. I'm running for president because I believe that America can do better, both at home and abroad. But only if we challenge ourselves to reach out to what's possible. For too long, we've been trapped in our own divisions and our own doubts and our own senses. It's time to reject the politics of the past and embrace the politics founded at home. This weekend, as we mark another Passover holiday, we remember the story of Exodus. We're reminded of the power of faith and the promise of renewal. The deliverance of the Israelites from bondage of the Jewish people on a long path to the promised land. But as we recall this triumph of justice, we know that we must constantly seek new frontiers of peace and promise. Together, I believe that we can protect this union that we love so dearly. Together, I believe that we can strengthen those ties that bind America and Israel.